Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are we saying goodbye to Vincent Goodwill? He's on Twitter at VGoodwill. And so before we talk basketball, let's talk about you, Vincent. So it's no more NBC Sportsnet Chicago. You are moving on to bigger and better things as a national guy with Yahoo.
That's the rumor, apparently. I saw like a blog post about me from the Big Lead, and I was surprised at that myself. I had to call my agent to see if I got fired or something.
No, but in all seriousness, this is a good thing, right?
Yeah, it is. It is a good thing. Like I said, let me say how much I've appreciated my time in Chicago through the years. I know I catch a lot of flack for the go back to Detroit stuff and everything else, but I really, really enjoyed my time covering the Bulls, you know, doing media, doing all these different things here, and yeah, it is time to do something new. Bigger, I guess, a bigger step coming to the league, possibly for Yahoo. It's a great opportunity for me. It was something I didn't expect, but it's certainly no shade to the people here in Chicago and the work that I've done because I've truly enjoyed it.
Well, congratulations to you. And before you go national, let's reflect a little bit on your time as a beat writer. It's got to be somewhat refreshing to hear a guy like Jabari talk about an aspect of the game with such, you know, frank attitude as he does. Does that help at all? Does that feel like anything you've ever felt before covering a team like this?
That's a little weird, right? To hear a guy basically say, hey, we're just going to try to outscore teams, you know, or usually guys will couch in and say, look, as long as we can get stops late, as long as we can get stops defensively, you know, at the right time. But Jabari just come out and basically spoken his truth and just said, hey, look, we're going to try to outscore guys. We got, you know, he's not saying it, but basically he's saying, look, we got three guys on this roster when fully healthy that can get you 25 a night. And usually when you have that, you start framing your team around, you know, the old Phoenix Suns, the Houston Rockets, you know, and basically just trying to outscore teams. And here's the thing, when you're young, as this team still is, and I know people are trying to put playoff expectations on this team, I'd rather you be young, exciting, and bad than slow, young, and bad. You know what I'm saying? So if I'm a Bulls fan, I would take this game of basketball over, you know, playing halfway decent defense but not being able to score and still losing.
Yeah, I just wonder what culture you start to build. I mean, it's not like you can get a year, 2 years in and then say, okay, now we're going to start playing defense because now we can. Some of the principles of this and some of the building blocks of this with these guys who matter, can you ever get back to it? Like, do you ever get to a point where it's like, okay, now we're going to try on defense?
Well, it depends on what are we in this for. You know, when you're talking, when you acquire a Jabari Parker, what does that say about your roster construction? You know, so what does it say about your goals when you already have a marketing, when you have a Zach LaVine? You know, he was being brought in to score. Like, nobody expected, at least not from my standpoint, I didn't expect when they brought in Jabari Parker that he was going to be some type of defensive stopper. Like, we know the book on him. And he's a gifted, a talented scorer who on defense is not necessarily going to be out here stopping guys. So while on one hand I completely understand what you're saying, but I think it goes to a bigger question about the construction of the roster and where you're trying to go. You can only build a culture with guys who want to feel what you're trying to do. But if you look at the roster of players, like Zach LaVine is a pretty good on-ball defender. You know, when you start getting into switching and off the ball and stuff like that, you know, you can get into a little bit of trouble there. But he said he's trying to get out of those habits. Jabari Parker just come out and just say, look, man, we're just out here trying to outscore guys. But if you look at the culture of sports all the way around, guys, look at the NFL scores over the weekend. Look at, you know, the passer ratings. Look at the way the quarterbacks are dominating everything. It seems like the culture of offense is what people are buying into and what the leagues are sort of mandating to teams. So I wouldn't say it's much more so a team thing. It seems like to be more of a sport culture thing.
How did Lauri Markkanen fit into that culture you're talking about specifically with this team, and how what is the word on that elbow at this point?
I mean, I just think it's one of those things where it was a freak injury. You know, he didn't even realize, you know, the severity of it. You know, he kept playing through practice, and then after practice, basically he was, you know, complaining that it was feeling kind of numb and there was some pain there and everything else. I guess that's like the joy of being in your early 20s where you can, you know, severely injure yourself and just keep playing without, you know, luckily it didn't get worse in that time. You didn't do anything else to further injure it. But I think because it's such a wide time frame, you know, I think it's just going to be something that they're going to monitor week by week. I don't think he's shooting or anything like that. I think they don't have the greatest of high expectations this season, so they're going to let it heal in, so they don't want to rush it back. And I'm sort of curious to see how they're going to play it when he gets back, because this team is going to be in some sort of a rhythm, be it good or bad, and then you're going to throw a pretty big cog that you fancy as the future of your franchise back in there. And that's sure to sort of ruffle a few feathers, because guys will get used to roles and minutes and shots.
We're going to do a quick update and get back to Vincent Goodwill. A little more basketball. The Jimmy Butler saga merits some attention. Talking NBA with Vincent Goodwill, and a big story here with some former Chicago names and faces is that now the latest on the Jimmy Butler Timberwolves saga, he apparently put some sort of artificial deadline on his trade demand. And the problem with the trade demand is nobody's offering enough for him, because as is usually the case underpinning any Jimmy Butler story, he's not as good at basketball as he thinks he is. Is it possible that he could actually play until February with this team after all that has happened and all that's gone on between him and Thibodeau and Karl-Anthony Towns?
I think anything's possible, guys, especially with the NBA. This is kind of, you know, the silly league when it comes to those type of demands and everything else. Not that I fought Jimmy Butler at all for wanting out of there. And to go back to your original point, who's as good as basketball as they think they are? Like,
LeBron.
I'm not as good as basketball as I think I am. You know what I'm saying? So when you're a world-class athlete, a top 10 player in the league, and a guy who came from the place that Jimmy Butler came from, you have to have an inflated sense of your worth to get to where he's gotten to, because he didn't have a pedigree. So when you look at where things are, and I don't think it's because Jimmy Butler isn't valued across the league. I think it's because, A, he's got Thibodeau miles on him, which is completely different than any other type of miles that a player can have, you know, on his body. Secondly is they don't know where he's going to be come July, you know, as far as, you know, him wanting that max contract, which he would certainly ask for in anybody else worth being the top 10 player would ask for. You don't give up a whole lot when you don't know that the player is going to stay with you. I think the Timberwolves have screwed this up, because Jimmy Butler, it's been long known that Jimmy Butler has wanted out of Minnesota. This wasn't just something that magically came out of the air 3 days before training camp. This was something that was expressed to the Timberwolves in June. So for everybody to say Jimmy Butler is playing the drama act and everything else, I firmly believe, I have it on pretty good authority, that Glenn Taylor has known about Jimmy Butler's wishes since June.
If I told you that I've been to the future Friday and Jimmy Butler did get traded, what would you say they got in return? What's he worth?
Well, what he's worth and what they'll get in return are two different things. I think what they'll get in return, which should be two solid players. You know, and if you want to throw in some type of conditional pick, with heavy protections on it, you know, fine. But you can be worth, a good player like that can be worth two solid players. If you look at what Paul George was traded for, if you look at, and I think that's what Minnesota is looking for. They're looking for the next sort of Oladipo, you know, type of player. But Oladipo wasn't that type of player when OKC traded him. He was sort of an underachiever or a guy who couldn't live up to being the number two pick in the draft, you know, a few years ago. But I think he's worth, Jimmy Butler is worth, two rotation players, if not one top-end rotation player, and then maybe some filler after that. Like, you're never going to get a return on a top-10 player. It just doesn't happen in today's game. It's not equitable. So if the Timberwolves are expecting that, then they got another thing coming.
I haven't had a chance to watch any Lakers preseason games. I know that we need to get used to the fact there's going to be a lot of attention paid there on LeBron James and his land of misfit toys. What have you seen, and how long will it take before they're decent?
Wow. I think to some degree people are undervaluing how great LeBron James is. as amazing, as crazy as that, as blasphemous as that sounds for me saying this in this particular city, I think, I won't say that the Lakers are a contender, but I firmly believe that they are a second-round playoff team, even if they are not necessarily a top-four team in terms of record. I think they're going to start off slowly because that's what LeBron teams do when he comes to a new team. That Miami team started off slow. That Cleveland team started off slow when he came back. It's an adjustment period. And I don't know if this is the roster that they're going to have, you know, come February, even though they have a bunch of guys on, you know, one-year contracts. I'm wondering if they're going to maneuver and swing something bigger, you know, as time goes on. So, yeah, I would say around All-Star break, you're not going to see the best of that Lakers team. But the thing is, there's a rule that I have about certain players in the league that you have to – it sounds very simple and elementary. But to beat that guy four times over the course of 2 weeks, are you telling me any team short of the Golden State Warriors and an overrated Western Conference, can you say with confidence that any team is going to do that?
I need to see him. I need to see if he's got enough shooting around him to make sure that he doesn't have five people guarding him.
It might not.
What? Here's the thing. What was the Bobby Knight quote? We need a center. Play Jordan at center. That's what this is. It doesn't matter. We need shooting. Let LeBron shoot. We need rebounding. Let LeBron rebound. He's that great.
I thought the Bobby Knight quote was, I'm going to choke you. Just for sake of checking the box, did Kyrie Irving mean it when he said he's staying in Boston?
Did he sign anything?
No.
Okay.
That's kind of what I figured.
Look, you're going to say what you can – put it like this. He's trying to do the anti-Kevin Durant, where KD is leaving his options open and leaving it open to speculation, what he's going to do after the season and everything else. And you can kind of intimate that he's going – maybe he's going to leave. I would say more likely than not, but that's the feeling that I get. With Kyrie, he doesn't want to have to answer these questions time after time, you know, stop after stop, especially when you have to make two stops, double the stops in the New York area, you know, during the season because you're playing the Nets and the Knicks. And even though the Nets aren't going to be in real competition for him, you're going to have those same writers and those same narratives being pointed out. So to just sort of try to put a little bit of cold water on the speculation, even if you have no intention of really signing back with Boston, you go ahead and say, yeah, I'm going to come back and all this other type of stuff. But I don't put anything into unless a guy signs.
Vincent, best of luck on the new venture, and stay in touch. We hope you'll still pick up the phone when we call.
What are you guys' name again?
Vincent.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Thanks, guys.
Vincent Goodwill.
With the guys playing with LeBron.
Yeah, Vincent Goodwill soon to be of Yahoo Sports.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.